to us unique challenges and some things that we simply do not try to think about because of the challenges they present to us. I think that perhaps it is safe to say that the subject of death is one of those that we often try to avoid if we possibly can, and we don't like to think about that often if it's at all possible. In fact, if we somehow could avoid death completely, then we might be justified in not thinking about it. But the Scriptures tell us very clearly in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it's appointed unto man, to all people, once to die, and after this the judgment. So we know it's something that each one of us personally will face. And there are many respects in which the death of Christ provides us one of the prime examples of how to think about death itself. In fact, what I want us to do tonight, and likely we will continue this 2 weeks from tonight, next Sunday night is a singing night, but likely 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to look at some lessons from how Jesus approached death. And we're going to learn from Jesus how we should approach death. In essence, we're going to learn from Jesus how to die. It's almost ironic that the Eternal One, it is from Him we will learn how to die. That the One who is the giver of all life will teach us how to die. And yet, I think that we cannot understand the death of Christ apart from His life and a reflection on His life. And so it's very important that we think about Christ's life in order to understand Christ's death. And once we understand His life, then we understand His death. And then we can make application to our own lives and see how that works for us. Apparently I'm having some trouble here with mine.
Okay, am I on now? Am I on now? Okay, I may have been off for a few moments there, but I think I talk loud enough, at least I've been told that before, and I don't mean by the church people, that you can hear me most of the time. Okay, I think I'm on here, but if I fade away, give me the signal again, and I'll just pull this mic over here. But at any rate, it's very significant, very important that we think about Jesus' life, how He approached death and what He thought about death, and then we make application to our own lives and how we live like Him, and we learn how to die. And with that kind of undergirding, that kind of background in mind, here are the two or three, really three directions that I want us to take tonight. First of all, I want us to think for a few moments about Jesus' thoughts before death happened. And then I want us to think, secondly, about Jesus' actions before death happened. And then, third, we're going to come back and kind of pull those together, and we're going to think about Jesus' thoughts and actions, or Jesus' thoughts and behavior when death happened. First, we'll think about His thoughts before death. We'll think about His behavior before death. But then we're going to pull that together. After thinking about His life, we're going to think about His death. And third, we will see His thoughts and His behavior when He faced death and it was imminent and unavoidable. Number one, let's think for a few moments about Jesus' thoughts before death happened. I think it's very safe to say the Creator of life understood that death is common to all man. And when He became a man, when He became flesh and dwelt among us and became a man, that He knew that this would be His ultimate end of earthly life. Jesus came to die. He knew that He came to die. This was the foremost thought in His heart and mind. He knew His purpose for being here was to die on the cross and give Himself as a sacrifice for the sins of all people. And He never avoided any of that. He never tried to postpone any of that. as he struggled even on that very night before he died. And he prayed so earnestly to his Father. In Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that he prayed with vehement tears. He said, "Father, if this cup may pass from me, then let it pass from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done." Jesus was willing to accept death. And this was the thought of all that he centered his life on. And as we understand from this from Jesus, we learn something. We learn that we should not put off thinking about death. Remember, this first area that we're talking about is Jesus, what Jesus' thoughts were before death. We should not put off thinking about death until it happens. Because Jesus thought about it a great deal before it happened. And we learn, I think, that we should think very seriously and objectively about it. Sadly, there are some people in this world who never think about death until it's right upon them. And it's simply too late because of the circumstances to rearrange and reorder their lives and to make things right with people that they've needed to make them right with and to seek the forgiveness of God. Well, they think about it, but it's simply too late to really do anything about it. Jesus was not like that. He thought about death objectively and seriously long, long before it actually happened. And as we think about that, and we think about our Savior, there's something else I think that is interesting. Jesus knew the kind of death that he would die. The prophecy was all in place that he would be a man of sorrows. He would be bruised, he would be beaten, he would be crucified. And Jesus knew that his death would be a painful, horrible death. But it didn't stop him from thinking about it. And it didn't stop him from going through with it. He did not seek to avoid it. He did not seek to postpone it. And the fact that he knew he would die did not make him so sad and so down and so depressed that he lost all interest in life. He knew he was going to die. He knew the purpose for why he was going to die. And he knew that his death would be a very unpleasant death, a painful, excruciating death. But confronted with all these facts, Jesus did not lose interest in life. Jesus did not lose interest in others. Jesus did not go to some dark corner in a remote place and sit down and have a pity party. He continued to think optimistically, and he continued to think, even though he was giving death such serious consideration, he continued to think about the benefit and the blessing it would bring to so many others. And I want you to notice sometimes when you're reading through the Gospels, just make a mental note of this, and the next time you read through the Gospels, and as you're reading through them, perhaps right now even in our congregational reading plan, make a note of something. Observe how many different times Jesus brings up the subject himself of his own death with his disciples. Observe how sometimes when he does that, the reaction of the disciples is, "Don't talk about that. Oh, may it never be." But observe, Jesus talks about it with his disciples. He lays it all out on the table so very clearly for them to see, for him to see, and for everyone to understand. There's a lesson there for what we think about death and what we think about our own mortality and how we handle that with our loved ones. Several years ago, in one of my counseling classes at Fried Hardeman, we studied a unit on grief. And one of the most poignant articles that we read during that study of grief was by a lady who wrote an article, and she said, "The first funeral I ever attended, I was 22 years old, and it was my mother's funeral." While I understand the necessity and perhaps the need to be delicate about this with children and to be careful and cautious about death with children, there's just something inherently difficult for me to understand that someone has no encounter with death in any way whatsoever until age 22. And then it must be the death of a parent. Let's think about and discuss these things with our loved ones while we are living. While we are living. Because that's what Jesus did. Secondly, now, let's think about Jesus' behavior before death. We've already somewhat alluded to this by saying that death, even as serious as Jesus knew it was going to be, as painful as he knew it was going to be, death did not cause Jesus to lose interest in life. He continued on with his ministry. He continued on with all the things that he needed to do. But let's think about Jesus' behavior before death occurred, before death happened. And again, in order to understand Jesus' death and to learn from Jesus about how we need to die, we need to think about his life. Because that's the cue and the greatest understanding to help us to know how to die. First, we must know how to live. Well, we learn that we learn from Jesus that the best preparation an individual can have for death is to live a life in God's will. To live a life faithfully following, obeying God's word. That was Jesus' behavior. That was Jesus' intention. That was Jesus' lifestyle. We need to learn God's will for our lives and then do it. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. And while on one hand we might say, yes, but Jesus had inside information. Jesus knew supernaturally what was going to happen to him and how it was going to happen and perhaps even to the very moment of when it would happen. Well, let me tell you something. We don't have to have supernatural information to know that we're going to die. Because God really has already provided that knowledge for us in his word. I guess you could say that's the supernatural information. But we don't have to have the inside information and know all the specifics like Jesus did to know what? That it's inevitable. That indeed we will face it. But now let's make up our minds about how we will live before that day. And Jesus had in his heart and mind to know the will of God and to do it. To live for Jesus, to live for his Father as much as he could was all that Jesus wanted to do. You may recall in John chapter 4, as you look in the gospel accounts of Jesus and his life, in John chapter 4, Jesus said in verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his works. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white to harvest." Jesus knew the significance of doing all that he could for his Father every single day. And that it was not necessary to wait for some distant day in the fuzzy future, but today he could do what his Father's will prescribed. That was his behavior. Even at age 12, in Luke chapter 2, we find Jesus being confronted by some very distraught parents. And his response is, "I must be about my Father's business." That's a 12-year-old boy. You know, there are some people four times that age that haven't even got that figured out yet. Jesus' behavior was to be about the Father's business. And in being about the Father's business, he said also in John 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me." So Jesus' full intention was to work the works of his Father. And when he did die on the cross, you may recall that with confidence, he told us something. With confidence, Jesus said in John chapter 19, "It is finished." What is Jesus saying there? "I have done what my Father wanted me to do. I've completed it. It's not half done. It's not been avoided. But I have finished the work that the Father sent me to do. I've done it." You know, there's a great feeling of satisfaction when you're involved in a project that is very demanding and you come to the end of it and you finish it and you complete it. And it works. You know, it's done well and it's done effectively. That's just a great feeling of satisfaction and completion. Could you imagine? Can you imagine the level of satisfaction that God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Word must feel knowing the plan of redemption worked just like it was supposed to. And still works. It is completed. Every detail, every step, every single solitary peace that was needed to be put in place to assure our salvation has been put in place. Nothing was overlooked. Nothing was left to chance. Nothing was left undone. Jesus died saying, "I have done all that I was supposed to do." It is completed. You see, that's Jesus' behavior. That's Jesus' behavior. That's Jesus' mindset. That's Jesus' lifestyle. That's the lesson we need to learn from Jesus. We need to learn, yes, how Jesus died, but before we do that, we need to learn how he lived. And in learning how he lived, many of us, I'm afraid, and many people certainly in the world, many people in the world, and hopefully not many, if any of us, hopefully not any of us, will come to this point knowing that we're going to die and we will come to death, death will come to us, and we have not made it our purpose and our mission to know God's will and to do it. And we face death having not done what God wants us to do. And we face death having not followed God as He wants us to follow Him. We've got to put God's kingdom first. We've got to put God's Word first. We've got to put God's plan for our life first. This must be the burning priority that supersedes everything else that we do. It is how we think, it is how we behave, because it is how Jesus thought and how He behaved. Jesus left nothing undone, and He neglected nothing of His Father's will that He needed to do. You and I, to the best of our human limitations, need to follow the example of Jesus. And indeed, let us live until we die. But now, let's pull these together. And let's think, as we've been thinking about what Jesus thought about before He died, and we've been thinking about how Jesus behaved before He died, but now let's pull these together and let's examine for a few moments here what Jesus thought and how He behaved when He died. John chapter 18 and 19 in their entirety record for us the moments from Jesus' betrayal in the garden and His arrest to the last verse of John chapter 19 that tells us His dead body was placed in a tomb. Between the beginning of John 18 and the end of John 19, you read those details of what transpired. And you read how Jesus behaved and what He thought when He died. You can, of course, supplement this with Matthew and Mark and Luke's accounts as well. But as you reflect on what we're talking about tonight, I would encourage you once again to look at John 18 and 19 and just read them. And from these verses and from these chapters in John's Gospel, we learn some things about Jesus when He died. The first thing you learn is that He died with Scripture on His lips. You see, some of the things that Jesus said were quotations from Scripture. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46, Jesus said, "Father, into Your hands I commend My spirit." That's a quotation from Psalm 31, verse 5. Jesus died with the Scripture on His mind, on His heart, and on His lips. That's what He thought. That's how He behaved when He lived. And that's what He thought, and that's how He behaved when He died. We also learn from the death of Jesus is that He knew the Scriptures. If you're going to die with Scripture on your heart, if you're going to die with Scripture on your mind, if you're going to die with Scripture on your lips, then you must know the Scriptures. They were His daily meditation. They were His comfort in everything that He faced. Jesus obviously studied and read the Scriptures. And He used them in every crisis that He faced in life. When He was tempted, in Matthew chapter 4, every time He was tempted, the response was what? "It is written." The Scriptures were what sustained Jesus. The Scriptures were what gave Him purpose. The Scriptures were what gave Him life, even as He faced death. And He speaks from the very Word of God. When His enemies tried to entrap Him, He turned to Scriptures. When Satan tried to tempt Him, He turned to Scriptures. And when death wrapped its arms around Him, He turned to Scriptures. And really, this is the driving thought and the driving behavior of His entire life. He thought about the Scriptures. He put the Scriptures into action and application in His life. And so it should come to no surprise us at all that he did this in death. They had been his guide and support in life, and now they will sustain him in the hour of death. He lived them in life. He was willing to live by the Scriptures in life, and now he was willing to die by the Scriptures as he faced death. He relied upon them in every trial and every temptation during life, and now he would comfort and rely upon them as he faced death. One reason many people are afraid to die, and many people are afraid to die, aren't they? Perhaps even I speak to ourselves. Having the confidence that we do of our salvation through the blood of Jesus, there's still that uncertainty. There's still that unknown. But there are many people in this world outside of Christ who are simply terrified to die. And I would suggest to you that one reason many people are afraid to die is because they have not trusted the Scriptures in life, and so they cannot trust them in death. They have nothing to land on. They have no foundation to support them. They have not listened or believed or obeyed them as they lived. And so, as they face death now, it terrifies them. No wonder so many are afraid to die, because they haven't trusted God and His Word when they lived. They have nothing to trust when they die. Don't let that be you. Don't let it happen to you. You may live 10 more years, or 20 more years, or 50 more years, but don't let that happen to you. You want to die unafraid? Then you believe and obey the Word of God in life. Because if you believe and obey and trust the Word of God while you're living, you have something to fall back on when you die. You have something to give you confidence. You have something to give you hope. You have something to give you comfort when so many people in the world are so afraid. Now, let's make some concluding thoughts here. And first, I want to say that if we want to learn to die like Jesus, we've got to learn to live like Jesus. And only by learning to live like Jesus, and we learn how He lived, do we learn how to live, and consequently, we learn how to die. And so we've got to live like Jesus. No man is ready to die until he has learned how to live. And the only person that can teach you how to live is Jesus. The only place you can go to find a resource to teach you how to live is the Word of God. And no man is ready to die until he has learned how to live as taught in the Word of God. And consequently, it should be natural for us to turn to God in death as it was for Jesus. It should be no shock to us that Jesus turned to his Father in death. As you look at the death of Jesus, he spoke 7 times. The Scriptures record for us 7 different times that Jesus spoke from the cross. It is pretty much our understanding that the first words that Jesus uttered from the cross are, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And probably the last thing he said was what we referred to a few moments ago from John 19, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." I want you to notice, of the 7 times that Jesus spoke from the cross that are recorded, the first time and the last time, he spoke to his Father. He prayed. It should be no shock or surprise. For as much as Jesus had relied upon His Father in life, that He would equally, if not more so, rely upon Him in the hour of death. Father. It is the person who is not in fellowship with God who shrinks back in terror when death comes his way. The unbelieving and the unforgiving learn to their sorrow too late that it is only in God refuge and comfort and eternal security is found. And because they have never learned how to live, they don't know how to die. You and I need to look to Jesus to learn how to live and to die like He did, in peace, unafraid. Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. Does that sound like a man who's afraid? Does that sound like a man who is distraught? Does that sound like a man who is unsure of where he's going to be on the other side? Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. I relinquish my life to place it in Your care. That's dying with confidence and assurance and grace and peace. And we learn from Jesus that is not only how to live, that is how to die. We have more to say. There is much more to learn from the death of Jesus to make application to our lives, but this is all that we're going to say tonight. But I hope I have said something that has pricked your heart and encouraged your mind and perhaps helped you examine where you are in relationship to this Jesus of whom we have been speaking about. Are you right with Him? Are you right with the Father? Can you confidently say, Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit? If you want to be able to say that at the moment of death, you need to say it while you're still alive. We encourage you to commend and to give your spirit, to give your life, to give your will, to give your mind and your heart to the Father. Hear Him. Believe Him. Obey Him. Be added to His church by being immersed in His name. Be restored to faithfulness by once again reclaiming your rightful position as His child if you've fallen away. Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. Are you ready? Are you willing? If so, would you come as we stand and we sing?